بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 4th of May in the year 2024. Alhamdulillah, we're beginning the 14th week, the 92nd night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. So after describing in some detail the glorious, or rather the tragic battle of Siffin, to spend a session entitled Food for Thought. So in a report recorded in Ibn Abi Dunya, Al-Bidayah 8-133, Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, he relates, I once saw Rasulullah in a dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma were besides him. I gave him the greetings of salam and I sat besides him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stop the report. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he was one of the righteous Umayyad Khalifs. He was the great grandson of Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Very pious man. And you'd expect him to see the Prophet in a dream, and he did. But when he saw Rasulullah in the dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two shaykhs were with him, Abu Bakr and Umar. So he said, I gave them salam and I sat next to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly, Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhuma, were brought. They were taken into a separate chamber. It was thereafter locked, and I was looking. It was not very long thereafter, upon which Sayyidina Ali emerged, and he was saying with great happiness, the judgment was for me. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. Immediately after him, Sayyidina Muawiyah emerged, radiyallahu anhu, and he was saying with relief, I have been forgiven. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic report. Hafiz ibn Kathir said it's an authentic chain. So this was a true dream. So he sat next to the Prophet and the two sheikhs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look how strange. Ali and Muawiyah emerged. They were taken into a separate chamber. So what was that chamber? It was probably a courtroom. And then the report says, shortly, meaning very short judgment, Ali emerges and he's so happy. He goes, the judgment was for me. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, meaning, Alhamdulillah, I was on the right path. And then it says, immediately after him, meaning it wasn't a long judgment. So don't get the impression that Hazrat Muawiyah was being drilled. Immediately after him, Hazrat Muawiyah, but his expression was different. It was relief. He goes, I have been forgiven. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, meaning my judgment wasn't as good, but my Lord forgave. So what do you learn? You learn that even in the time of the Tabi'een, they were thinking of these matters. Allah Ta'ala was answering them by honoring them to see the Prophet in their dreams. And what's interesting, the Prophet really had nothing to do with the dream. Why didn't Umar bin Abdul Aziz just see Ali and Muawiyah enter a chamber? Because that was to solidify, this is a true dream, because Rasulullah is there, and the two sheikhs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It would not come as a surprise to relate the following about Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi. In Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, 5-394, it mentions, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, was once asked about the Battle of Siffin. Is what happened in the Battle of Siffin? He replied, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He stopped that blood from reaching my hands, and I now hate to stain my tongue with it. The likeness of Rasulullah's companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is like the eye. The best way to heal the eye is not to touch it. Oh, beautiful. So this is another authentic report in Ibn Sa'd al-Istabaqat 5-394. So people asked him, is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ba'al of Siffin? What's your take on it? The people fond of asking even today, you know, what happened in the battle? You know, thousands lost their lives, what situation? So the first thing he said was, do shukr. Show gratitude. Allah Ta'ala didn't get you involved. None of that blood's on your hands. Alhamdulillah. Because there's something now foolishly you can do. You can stain your tongue with it. Meaning, why did you get involved? Then he said something beautiful, mashallah. He goes, Rasulullah sahaba are like the eye. And what's the best way to heal the eye? Don't touch it. If you touch it, you make it worse. Let the eye, and notice when the eye, the water starts, eventually the thing comes out. When you start fiddling about with it, you might make matters worse. Isn't that a beautiful example of the sahaba? Don't touch it, keep out of it. And Allah Ta'ala will look after you. But once you start fiddling with it, because you might cause more harm than good. Imam Bayhaqi, he commented upon this in his Manaqib al-Shafi'i, page 136. So the great Imam Bayhaqi said, Rahmatullah Alayh, this is very good. Because keeping quiet about what does not concern one is the right thing to do. He goes, this is common knowledge. Didn't the Prophet say, it's a beautiful quality not to talk about things that don't concern you. It's a hadith in Tirmidhi. So why are you talking about Siffin? It's got nothing to do with you. Leave it alone. And he goes, this is the best way to look at the matter. And similarly, Muhammad ibn al-Nadr, rahmatullah alayh, what did he say? The disagreement between Rasulullah's companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was mentioned in the presence of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. And he said, it is an affair Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed from your hands, that your tongues are now foolishly executing instead. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat 5-382. So what happened? Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he got fed up with this. People were talking about Siffin. So he got angry. He goes, Allah Ta'ala has graciously kept you away from that. Now foolishly, he goes, you're losing your tongues. Why are you getting involved in this? How many people have gone to their graves, let's put it bluntly. How many people have gone into their graves with something in their heart against Muawiyah, radiallahu? Where did that come from? Talking about Siffin. How many people have gone into the grave with a problem with Amr ibn al-As? Maybe thumb-sucking the lies, which the, you know, Rawafid are putting. You know, how he put the Quran and the spears and he did this and that. Destruction. So what is the best? Just don't talk about it. Brother, I haven't got knowledge. I know they're all going to paradise. Allah Ta'ala has kept me out of it by his kindness. I'm not going to get involved now with my tongue. Another report. In Ibn Asakir, Al-Bidayah 8-133, Abu Zur'a al-Razi, rahmatullah alayh, he relates. A man once said to me, I hate Muawiyah, astaghfirullah. I don't like him, radiyallahu. So I asked, why? Why don't you like him? Why have you got hatred for him? He said, because he fought Ali. Because he fought Ali, radiyallahu. So I responded, woe to you. Indeed, the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala of Muawiyah radiyallahu is most merciful. And the opponent of Muawiyah is also a merciful opponent. Now, where do you come in between them? I.e., for if they have both forgiven him, where do you stand? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with both of them. Let's look at this. Again, an authentic report. Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah 8-133 Ibn Asakir. So again, imagine, you know, this is not something new. This happened thousands of years ago. I hear mom, even today they'll say, great man, but he made a massive mistake, didn't he? What's that then? He fought Ali, and I've got something in my heart against him. So our response should be this. You say to that person, ask him two questions. Is the Lord of Muawiyah the most merciful? So what's the answer to that? Yes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second question. is his opponent, is the opponent of Muawiyah, Ali, a most merciful servant. What's the answer to that? Yes. So if Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful of those who show mercy, and the one who is the opponent of Muawiyah, he's also full of mercy. Where have you popped out from? Like we say, where do you fit into this? Who are you to judge? Then he says, Allah Ta'ala, may he be pleased with both of them. Meaning, you know, just use your logic. If it was up to you, yes, maybe there is a problem, but you're not judging. Who's going to judge? How true were the words of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, when he said, Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu, is a means of attesting for us. Those whoever we see looking down on him, then suspect he has a problem with the companions. This is in Tabari in his tarikh. So who's Abdullah ibn Mubarak? Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak is Tabatabi. He's from the Salaf. He's from the era of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. He's unblemished in the chain of hadith. Nobody has found a fault with him. So if you get him in a chain, he's A+. 6 months of the year, he did jihad. 6 months of the year, he did hajj. That was his kind of his life. So he was a great, great man. Rahmatullah. He said, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu is a test for us. Then he said, whoever we see looking down on him, we suspect he has a problem with the Sahaba. So look how interesting. What was he saying? The great Abdullah ibn Mubarak. If you have a problem with Muawiyah, guaranteed you got a problem with the Sahaba. So he's the test. If you find fault with him, he goes, the rest gonna follow. It is also related. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh was asked about what happened between Ali and Muawiyah radiyallahu anhuma, and he responded, I do not say anything about them except that which is best. Subhanallah. Recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in his Manaqib al-Imam Ahmad, page 164. So imagine, now you turn to Imam Ahmad, the Imam of the Ahlul Sunnah. Because what's your view? He goes, I will only ever say anything but good about both of them. You won't hear anything negative coming out of my mouth. So who are these people? Were they Mawlanas? Were they Muftis? You know, you can only dream about what level they've reached. And they're telling you, keep out of it. Speak only good. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, what did he say? In Fath al-Bari 13-34, the Ahlul Sunnah are unanimously agreed. It is not allowed to criticize any one of the companions because of what happened to them, even if we know who was in the right. For they did not fight those battles except on the basis of what they believed to be true and correct. Indeed, it is proven that one who erred will have one reward, and the one who got it right will have two rewards. So let's look at this. So the great commentator of Imam Bukhari Sahih, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith, he said, the scholars of the Ahlul Sunnah say it is forbidden to criticize any of the Sahaba. If anybody speaks anything negative about the Sahaba, you reprimand them. No scholar has given that green light. Then he said, even if we know who was in the right. So who was he talking about there? This incident, Safin. You could say, well, no, we're not finding fault with Muawiyah. We're just saying Ali was right. He goes, don't even speak like that. You're not allowed to speak like that. And then he says, because they did things with knowledge. They were there, they were present, we weren't. Hafiz ibn Kathir, what did he say? In Al-Ba'ith Al-Haditha, page 182. With regards to that concerning which they differed amongst themselves after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that some of it happened without their intending it, such as the Baal of the Kama. Some of it was based on what they thought was correct, such as the Battle of Siffin. A decision may be mistaken, but the person is excused Even if it is wrong, he will be rewarded for it. And the one who gets it right gets two rewards. So look at how beautiful. What did Hafiz Ibn Kathir say? The great Muhaddith of the Shafi'i school. He said, the Sahaba, after the Prophet left this world, sometimes they got entangled in something without intending. But out of the come, there was no intention for the ba'al. It just came. It was the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he says, some of it happened because of their ijtihad, like the battle of Siffin. That was determined. They both decided. He goes, it was ijtihad. And then he said, even if one of them erred, he is excused. He will be given one reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah. So why am I mentioning these scholars? Because people, they start quoting local scholars. You know, Manana Sahib, who gives a monkeys what he says? Right? With respect. Why? Because you got the giants. Once the giants are spoke, you don't start talking. You know, it's like saying, Einstein said this. And he goes, yeah, but my science teacher said something else. And then you look at the guy, you think, I just quoted Einstein. Why are you quoting your science teacher? Right? And this is what people do. So let's look at Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, the Imam of the Hanbali school. Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah was once asked regarding the one who curses Muawiyah. He says, what should be done to him? So in Al-Bidayah 18:37-8, he said, Alhamdulillah, whoever curses any of the companions of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, Amr ibn al-As, and the likes of them, radiyallahu anhu, he is then entitled to be punished severely according to the consensus of the scholars. The only difference being whether he should be punished by killing or something less than that. So let's look at this. So what did the great Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah say? If anybody curses the Sahaba, Rawafid. And which two Sahaba did he mention out of the hundreds of thousands? Such as... And he knew, he did it deliberately. Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, Amr ibn al-As. Why? Because he knows these lies. He goes, he is entitled by the scholar's consensus to be severely punished. The only difference is he executed? Or is he not executed? That's where the difference lies. And the majority said, no, he's not executed, but he's given a severe thrashing, imprisonment. For cursing the Sahaba. Al-Maymuni similarly related in Al-Bidayah 5:644. Imam Ahmad once informed me, rahmatullah alayh, O Abu Hassan, if you see anyone mentioning the companions with evil, then have concern for his Islam. Subhanallah. O Abu Hassan, if you see anyone mentioning the companions with evil, then have concern for his Islam. In Al-Bidayah 5:644. So look at Imam Ahmad. He's actually saying it's not just a sin. That could lead to them losing their iman. If you see anyone speaking ill of the Sahab, look how great that crime is. When you commit a sin, will you lose your iman? How does that work? Shirk, obviously, I've lost my iman. This is such a crime in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you criticize, you speak ill of the Sahaba, Imam Ahmad says his Islam is in danger. Shaitan's almost got him. Almost. One last report. In Fath al-Bari 4:360, Abul Mudaffar as-Sammani rahmatullah alayhi said, exposing the faults of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a sign of betrayal from the one who does it. Furthermore, it is an innovation. It is misguidance. So look at this, respected soul. What did he say? If you find fault with the Sahaba, you're a traitor. That's what he said. And what do any government do to traitors? Hang them. That was the early rule in England. Hang the traitor. Who are you being a traitor to? To Islam. Then he says, it is a bid'ah. Look at the howler. Some people are so bid'ah. You're finding fault with Sahaba. That's a bid'ah. And is misguidance. So note, this is something that's happening because of our disconnect with knowledge. If you have knowledge, you be so fearful. I'm not talking about any sahaba, brother. What the heck is this about? Over a dinner, let's have talk about Siffin. Say, brother, let's talk about football. We want to talk about Siffin for. It wouldn't be too bad if you had knowledge. The guy hasn't got any idea, no clue whatsoever. He goes, Muawiyah fought Ali. Ask him one question. Tell me one thing about Muawiyah except he fought Ali. And he looks at you like that. He doesn't know anything else about him. No wonder you've condemned him. Only thing you know about Muawiyah, he fought Ali. Did you know he was Rasulullah's brother-in-law? His sister is our mother. I didn't know that. Did you know he wrote the revelation of the Quran? Did you know that he fought in campaigns with Rasulullah? Do you know he prayed behind Rasulullah? Do you know Rasulullah made du'as for him? Next minute, he starts choking on his chips and beans. Right? And he goes, there you go, brother. Innit? What are you talking about sahaba for? Astaghfirullah. And what happens? These people ultimately lose their iman. Right? Like Imam Ahmad said. Now look how beautiful to finish. If by speaking ill of the sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala an, you could lose your iman. Question. What if you never speak ill of them? What if your habit is to speak good of them? It doesn't take a scholar to work out what happens then. Allah Ta'ala will protect your iman. In fact, He will not only protect it, He will boost it. Because you're talking about the righteous, the best of people after the prophets. And here, this is why I'm discussing this now. Because we're going through Amr ibn al-As's life, but we're going through a period where there's, you know, fitna. In a civil wars broke out, and it's very easy to get emotional. Maybe out of love for Ali, you react. And the response is, don't use emotions. We love all of them. They made their decisions. Allah Ta'ala will definitely take them to paradise. But we need to be very careful, not them. Because they've been guaranteed by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So all I mentioned today was food for thought. Not food for your physical bodies, food for your spiritual bodies. To protect your iman. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wal asr. Insan lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. Wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Sadaqallahu alazim.